All right. What is up, everyone? Good evening. It is 9:26 here in Tampa, Florida. It's your man Cody from the Brew and Orange Podcast. We are back. It has been a little bit of a hiatus. A holiday season was busy for everyone, but I'm so pumped to be back. I'm super excited just to be here talking to you guys, doing something that I love, talking about stuff that I love. And I know if y'all are listening, you love this kind of stuff too. I hope everyone had a good holiday season, stayed safe, stayed healthy, and got to enjoy some time with family, friends, celebrate however you wanted to celebrate. But ultimately, as long as everyone stays safe and healthy, man, that is all that matters. A couple different things today on the Brew and Orange Podcast. I have not been to Total Wine or ABC in a little bit. I've got to get back out there, okay? Needless to say, I drank a little bit of beer over the holidays, and so now I'm kind of unwinding a little bit, and I'm ready to pick back up with some delicious, delicious beers, and I'll tell you about where I'm going to get some good beers this weekend. But I've always got some good stuff that I'm drinking on, sipping on, trying all the time, and that's going to be this right here. It may not be a craft beer, but it is a craft cocktail. If you're listening, I apologize. Hop over to YouTube Live when this is over. Catch me on Instagram Live. I'm Brewing Orange, of course. I did eclipse 400 followers. That is a tiny number to some, big number to me. Super excited about it. So check out Instagram Live and check out what I'm drinking on. This right here is Old Forester. I've infused some dehydrated orange peels or orange slices with some cinnamon and a little bit of clove. So we may not be drinking craft beer, but we're drinking a craft cocktail. It's essentially an old fashioned. And here is what it is. And thank you to my beautiful, thoughtful, lovely wife, Jamie Brickner. So you see, this is from Aged and Infused Instagram Live. Check me out right there. Aged and Infused. So go on that website if you like gin, if you like rum, tequila, whiskey like me, bourbon. They're going to have recipes and stuff for everybody. And it's so cool because you just fill it up with your favorite liquor or whatever of your choice. And you pick your fruits, your spices, and you let it kind of just marinate for 3 days. And like I said, this one is pretty much a pre-made waiting for me and my buddies old fashioned. And I love me an old fashioned. So in the name of word Friday Eve, that's what I call Thursday. I don't give credit to Wednesdays. If you know me, if you work with me, you know, I don't give credit to Wednesday. Wednesday is an overrated day. It's all about Thursday because what comes next is your Friday and your weekend. So cheers to everyone. I hope you had your good holidays, good New Year's. First episode of 2021, super pumped about it. I've had some motivation and that's why I'm back and not going anywhere. I'm the original. I will always be here and we're going to kick it up a notch. I'm going to come out swinging. We're going to have some good episodes, some good content. And so cheers to that and cheers to this shirt. So let's Instagram, check this out. If you're on YouTube or wherever you're watching, check this out. Everybody listening, I'm about to tell you where you can get this shirt and some other awesome, awesome designs that are made local because that's what we want to do here. We want to promote local. We want to shop local, buy local. It's important all the time, but it's especially important right now during this time that we're living in, of course. So cheers to everyone. I hope everyone has a good, healthy weekend. Again, this is my Aged and Infused with, what is this? Whiskey spiced rum, dehydrated oranges, cinnamon, and clove. Cheers to you. Cheers to you. Believe it or not, there is a little fly in there who is wasted swimming in that Old Forester. All right, so let's get down to the t-shirt because it's pretty important. You got the, look at that. Boom, Stanley Cups. We already know the deal. Defending Stanley Cup champions. This season is off and running already. This is from 1771 Designs, based out in St. Pete, guy named Matt, 1771 Designs. This shirt is comfortable. It is affordable. Shipping, I had no problems with it. Everything was perfect. Follow them, 1771 Designs. Unique apparel for local, made by a local. That's what it's all about here. That's kind of like the whole idea behind me doing this. I started this podcast in March, I think, March or April, May. during the pandemic, and that's my goal. That was my focus. I wanted to shine the light on local stuff. So I'm super pumped I was able to purchase this shirt. I connected with him on Twitter, and I got myself one. There are Bucks logos. There's Rays themed, not Bucks logos, Buccaneer themed, Rays themed, Lightning, as you can see here. And honestly, I'm not from St. Pete, but I'm born and raised right here in Tampa in the 813. I love St. Pete. St. Pete's got all sorts of great restaurants. The vibe out there is great, the beach. And this 1771 design has got the coolest Pelican shirts. I think it's Pelican Pete. Got to get a hoodie, tank top, t-shirt for your wife, for your partner, for your mom, for your dad. You got birthdays coming up. Be sure to shop 1771 Designs. There it is. They're great. These are comfortable. You can wear it all day. I can't wait to get my hands on some Pelican Pete or the Bucks ones are great. They've already got the one Tom Brady missing the high five. That one's up there. Go check them out. Now, like I said, I don't have a craft beer, but did you think I was going to have a Brew and Orange podcast without something craft beer related? Boom. Pub Pass 2021 edition. This is a special shout out to Olivia and Jared, very lovely couple, friends of ours. Pub Pass gave me this for my birthday, which was January 1st. So if you want to wish me a happy birthday, cool. Put it in the comments, message me on Twitter, Instagram. Pub Pass, look at this. This is awesome. Take this bad boy around, get it stamped. It is what it is. It is a Pub Pass. Think of it as a passport. America's favorite craft beer passport. Discover Tampa Better 2021 edition. So this is great right here. Let's name some of these. So you visit a brewery, show your pass, get stamped, enjoy a free beer. You heard that? If you're watching, if you're listening, get your pub pass and go get some free beer. Let's talk about some of these breweries here. 81 Bay Brewing Company, Avid Brewing Company, Tampa Bay Brewing Company, West Shore or Ybor. Talked about them on here plenty of times. Florida Avenue, Flying Boat Brewery, Grand Central, Hopscotch Cafe. You got your Big Storm in Odessa and Pinellas. Brew Bus, we've talked about them a few times on here. Escape Brewery, I can't wait to go and try some of these. My wife and I are going to go out, and we're going to fully participate in this. We're not going to hit all, how many are there? Let's see how many breweries. 20 breweries. Okay, and there's some here that I've never heard. So I obviously need to get out there. I need to check out what else Tampa has to offer in the form of these craft beer locations. Willard's Tap House, Stein and Vine, Red Star Rock Bar. I've definitely been over there. That's over there in Seminole Heights. Pinellas Ale Works, Hopscotch Cafe, Grand Central. Bay Cannons on here. I've mentioned them plenty of times. But boy, this shirt. Man, Instagram Live, if you're seeing that. YouTube Live, you'll see that too. This thing is beautiful. I love the lightning bolt, the hockey, the bridge, the cups. I love it. The skyline of Tampa. Hey, Tampa's about to be title town. You can book that. That's just what it is. I think only Philadelphia, the city, has had, what is it? I think they've only had two of their three major sports teams make it to championships, but one of the three won. Don't quote me on that. Someone, if you want to fact check me, feel free. But Florida could, the city of Tampa could seriously make history. We have a Stanley Cup championship, Rays went to the World Series, the Bucks, which we'll talk about here at the end because it is the most important part right now. You know, we do craft beer, we do Gator stuff, which we're about to get to, but boy, we do Tampa sports, and right now the thing. There's a vibe right now. The pewter, the red, the creamsicle is out there. Everyone's wearing it. I'm hyped. And obviously I'm wearing this shirt because Lightning are playing the Blue Jackets. They're losing. I think I'm behind, but it looks like they're losing 2-2 right now. No big deal. That's the same team we eliminated in round one. The same team that sweeped us a little while back, I think it was. Was it the Blue Jackets? Yeah, it was embarrassing. But anyways, defending the cup. They're 2-0 right now. Lightning were dealing with some COVID issues, and so they have had a few games postponed, but Stamkos is back. Kucherov is getting surgery. The team doesn't look too much different, but they look good. I mean, it is what it is. It's going to be a weird season. There's no bubble like they had last season. It's going to be different. It's going to be challenging. We're going to see how many games that they can get, how many get postponed. Just be prepared for that. You know, there's a huge layoff right now. I'm assuming there's probably a little rust right now on the Lightning's point, probably everybody. That's just how it's going to be. So We talked about the Pub Pass, 1771. Go do it all. This is local. This is what we do here. This is what I want to do here. You know, this. If I get anything out of this, I just want you to go to these breweries, to buy these shirts, find other companies just like this. I will do my research. I'll find other stuff like this to bring to you, to highlight. That way you can go out there and you can do your part, because that's what this is all about. And when I do hop around on the Pub Pass, I'll make sure that I fire up the Instagram Live and let you know where I am, what beers I'm trying. By the way, Magnanimous Brewery tomorrow releases two cans. Let me see if I can find those. They released two IPAs tomorrow. I wish I had the names for them. It doesn't matter. They've got all their beers delicious. Their stouts, their sours, their IPAs are always juicy. Be sure to check out Magnanimous Brewery. Maybe grab some coffee if you're swinging by on the way to work. But Magnanimous Brewery, they are releasing two beers tomorrow. I'll be there. I'm off at 5 o'clock. I'm going to go straight there. I'll have a brew. I'll buy some, and I'll come to you from Instagram Live, and I'll share it with you what I get. But I'm definitely getting the two. They're four packs. I've had all their beers, Fog Theory, their Death to Citra, all that kind of stuff. That's what you want. So before we get into the meat and potatoes of this podcast, cheers again, and cheers to the weekend. Go Bucks. It's a Pirates life for me all day, every day. Ooh, that Old Forester with some orange, clove, and cinnamon goes down smooth. Try it out. Aged and infused. If you ain't drinking craft beer, drink some craft cocktails. That's what it's all about right there. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Gator recruiting, because it's slowed down a little bit. The portal has heated up. Florida had their early signing day, and we talked about that the last podcast when I was with Pat. Uneventful. They signed who they needed to sign. Left some room open for some transfers, which we're going to talk about right now. Newkirk from Auburn and Shelton from Penn State. You probably didn't really hear much about them, I'm assuming. Definitely not the Penn State guy. You may have heard about Newkirk if you follow boards and follow recruiting their way. I do, in the way I know a lot of my listeners and those who are watching do. He's going to come in. He's liked by Auburn fans. He came from Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College. Four-star JUCO guy. He was productive. He held his own when he's healthy. So hopefully he is past these injuries. He's going to be a stopgap kind of guy. As you know, when Kyrie Campbell was out, Florida was limping around on that defensive line. People were playing out of position. It affected Cox. It affected Carter. But you needed some D tackles. That was the position of need. 247 board, that's where I get a lot of my stuff. I follow it religiously. They do the best recruiting stuff too. I trust their rankings. I trust the Gators, the Gator guys too on there. A lot of Gator fans give them some trouble or give them problems, but it is what it is. Go follow them. Newkirk, four-star JUCO guy, struggle with some injuries. So if he's healthy, he's going to be the guy who can really come in at that defensive tackle position the way Florida needs. They're going to rotate guys. You know they like to keep people fresh. But we saw what happens when you didn't have a serviceable defensive tackle. A&M happens. That wasn't the reason for the loss at LSU. It wasn't for the loss at Alabama. The loss to Oklahoma was just simply being unprepared, not wanting to be there. I don't know if it was the players or the coaches. Certainly the coaches, particularly Dan Mullen, made it known he didn't want to be there, or at least that he didn't care about the outcome of that game. And I'm going to get into that here in a minute, especially towards the end. When we start talking about all the coaching stuff that went on. Shelton from Penn State, he was a three-star guy out of high school, 82 at his position. He started 21 games since 2019 for Penn State with 31 tackles, 8.5 sacks. So he's a guy who's productive when he's in. We're just going to see what he can do against SEC talent. And you know, when Savage gets a hold of these guys, he can really do some things. We're going to hope that Grantham can get some production out of them. That's going to be the most important thing. It's going to be a rotation. We're going to see it again. You're going to see guys, the Gervin Dexters, the Cox, Carter's back this season, which is a good thing. This defensive line should be healthy. They should be just ready to go and hopefully rebound from last year. But again, I just don't know how much of the defensive problems that they had. We all blamed it on Grantham. We did. You know, he hasn't been He's not putting up flashy numbers. I mean, he got over on some like just luck plays in 2019, the Steiner sack at Mississippi State. He had veterans on the team, and that was he had veterans on the team, and that helped him the last year. This year, you had Ventrell Miller. You had the linebacker core who looked out of sorts. All of them did. Everyone essentially looked out of sorts, and that's why Torrey and Graham English were both shown the door. Torrey and Graham ended up going to South Carolina. English is at Purdue now. We got McGriff Crime Dog, as he is called, from Auburn. Look, we have to hope that maybe it wasn't all Grantham. We got to hope that we're going to be able to rebound. You know, giving up 31 points a game, which is awful. It's just you can't do that in the SEC. It was a bad year for a lot of people. I'm messing with the Instagram right here. I'm trying to figure out how to do this. You know, this thing is wild. Anyways, we'll let that one 15-minute thing ride. Anyways, so what happened was everyone was out of sorts. You step back, you rewatch these games, you see a defense who doesn't know where they're supposed to be. They're constantly looking at the sidelines, and they played so inconsistently. It is tough to imagine a team that was able to score that many points, and I think that is what frustrates me. That's what frustrates a lot of Gator fans. It's just simply the fact that you wasted such a great offense. Heisman Trophy candidate, broke multiple records at Florida. You had the Mackey Award winning tight end. You can call him a wide receiver tight end. He was unstoppable. It's hard to sit back and just be so happy with an 8-4 season. I know my buddy Justin's going to have a lot of rebuttal on this. Maybe we can bring him on tomorrow night or Saturday, sometime before the Bucks game, to talk about it. I'd love to hear from him about how he feels with an 8-4 season. I'm not happy with it, to be totally honest with you. I know that this is an odd season. There's a lot of extenuating circumstances with COVID and all that kind of stuff. But there's just not a lot of positive optics right now on the side of Florida. It's very strange right now. You heard all the coaching rumors about Dan Mullen going to the Jets, and his agent is posturing for a raise or an extension. You know, it's about that time. It didn't stop all offseason, and it's not like we had Dan Mullen jumping up to put the flames out. Oh, there we go. Lightning scored. Good stuff. All right, so 3-2, looks like Lightning are up, so we'll take that. If you read the boards, a lot of Gator fans just wanted Dan Mullen and Strickland, these guys, to come out and be like, look, this is all rumors. We're not going anywhere. It's rumors. But that didn't happen. You know, it's just right now the staff is pretty much, right now the staff is on vacation is what a lot of the Gator fans want to say right now. And that's as simple as that. We just have to figure out a way to be better next year. I mean, you've got guys on the defense like Hopper, Wingo. You've got these talented guys. They were 4-star, highly ranked people. You just got to imagine. And I told Justin this all the time, and I think he agrees with me. I think we can look back now. Hindsight's 2020. He just wasn't – Mullen and Grantham and all them weren't playing the best players at the positions that it needed to be. And that – it felt like he was really choosing experience over – talent, and I don't know if that's the right formula for that. So we're going to see next year. But here's the thing. Like I was saying, Dan Mullen all offseason, all he talked about, and he really highlighted the defense when it came to this problem. He really said coronavirus, COVID, the pandemic, the protocols. He really said that hurt the defense. And he didn't, you know, he did mention offense is different. Kyle Trask was able to go out there and throw the ball with Pitts and Copeland. They're able to run that route. You naturally social distance when you're out there playing catch. Defense isn't the case like that. So do we really see ourselves as January right now? We're still going through this. Do you see an offseason that is different from last year? And I honestly don't. I think we're going to be more of the same when it comes to the spring game, when it comes to getting this. Remember last year, we talked about this in one of the podcasts. I mean, last year, you know, during the 2020 season, they lost the spring game, two or three scrimmages. It hurt this team. I think we saw it. So I don't know. I want to blame Grantham. His numbers are never outstanding. I mean, he had Grenard and Zuniga last year, and he was able to put that pressure. Brenton Cox is supposed to be coming back, it looks like, and maybe another year under Savage, another year under his belt with Florida, and he's able to really flash the way we all expected him to. But we just really didn't feel it this year, and it's kind of strange. And so we're going to really hope that next year is a little different. That's all you can hope for. The offense is going to look different too. Emory Jones is going to be your quarterback, and you're going to have a loaded backfield. I haven't heard a peep from Pierce and Davis, but it looks like you're going to have Pierce, Davis, Bowman, and Lingard back there. It's a loaded, loaded backfield. Wide receiver is a little different. I mean, what do you say? Because you'd like to think that Oklahoma was not a flash of what our future looks like, because that was an ugly, ugly game. Okay, Trask came in. I don't think he should have been there for that game. And here's my theory. Mullen was pretty quick on that. The play calling was incredibly suspect against Oklahoma. I'm not sure Mullen wanted Trask to play, but who is Mullen to tell Trask that he can't play in a bowl game against Oklahoma? You know, last hurrah. He's going to the NFL. He's declared for the draft. That's my theory. I have no sources. No one's told me that. That's just me thinking after I watched the game. Just the play call. I mean, he was running quarterback keepers, you know, on third and five, third and six. Remember to hydrate, everybody. They're going to see Emory Jones next year. You're going to see Jaquavion Frazier's, Whitmore, Shorter, Copeland. There's talent. But it's just, what is it going to look like? Is it going to be more run heavy? I mean, the offensive line is going to improve. Garage, Stewart, these guys, Stewart Reese, those guys are going to come back. Ethan White, Braun, you know, there's talent there. It's just, are they going to develop it? Is it going to be enough to hang with these teams like Georgia and LSU? And even though LSU kind of, they were in shambles this year, they're still out-recruiting Florida. You know, it is what it is, but you've got to be able to compete with these guys. And right now, Florida's sitting at seventh in the nation or eighth right now. I'd have to pull it up. But it's not going to win you championships. I mean, it is what it is. Florida is going to have to they're just going to have to recruit better. They're going to – Mullen is a great X's and O's guys. Does he like recruiting? You tell me what you've seen this season, last season, these 3 years in. You know, there was a lot of expectations for this Florida team. I had high expectations. I'm sorry, I did. Kyle Trask coming in, you had everybody. You had Pitts, you had Tony. Those three guys are gone next year. That was your offense. When Pitts and Tony was out, that was two-thirds of your offensive touchdown production right there out of the game. And Copeland was out that one game too. So Copeland's the only one coming back right there. If you can't run the ball, you're very pass heavy. Now, gloom and doom, I get it. I know, you know, that's not what everyone, you don't want to hear that. That's just my honest opinion right now. But there were some highlights, you know, that Alabama game, everyone was riding high. Florida got more respect from that loss at Alabama than they did any point in time during the season with any victory. I mean, it was, Florida didn't get any, they beat Georgia, but if you looked at Twitter and you know, talked to Georgia fans and all that, and I'll admit it, Georgia was down a lot of players. However, Georgia recruits. Georgia had five stars. They were recycling five stars in and out. Five-star, 40-star guys, top 100. I mean, but Florida had a perfect game plan, knew how to attack them, took advantage of their weaknesses, used their big-time playmakers to go out there and win that game. And so it's just so hard. I sit back and you're like, okay, so if you would have told me before the season – Florida would beat Georgia and only lose to Alabama in the SEC championship by 6 points, you would have had me convinced that this team would have made it to the playoffs. But then you tell me, oh, well, a fumble cost us a chance to win the game. It didn't lose us the game, just cost you a chance to win. And the Oklahoma game, so that's the most inexcusable loss in probably Florida history. I mean, I don't know. you know, I only go back to the early 90s is when I was a young kid watching it with my grandpa, but I will always remember this loss to LSU. And I know, you know, cheers to Pat for that one. You know, he was on the podcast and he called it. I think it was more luck. No one could have foreseen that coming. Inexcusable loss, probably the most embarrassing loss in Florida history at this point. And I bet you if you go through my podcast, what did I say? I said Mullen hasn't really lost the game that he shouldn't yet. Yeah, he dropped Kentucky that first season. Yeah, he dropped Missouri. But those were games that's fine because he was progressing. He won 10 games. He won 11 games, three straight New Year's Six Bowls. That's fun. But losing to LSU like that, inexcusable, at home, that was penciled in. I think LSU had three wins coming into the season. Absolutely embarrassing. True freshmen, they lost their hope. They lost coaching, personnel, first-round talent, Jamar Chase, and all these guys, Portal. It's just that was an inexcusable loss. And I think about it all the time, just like, wow, how disappointing 8-4 feels. Now, it was during an all-SEC schedule. It's tricky. There's people sick. The COVID protocols make everything, preparation, all that stuff a little different. But honestly, I was a little disappointed with this season, to be totally honest. You don't have to be. You can leave it in the comments. Hit me up on Instagram, Twitter, Bruin Orange. Let me know what you think. I was disappointed. Point blank, had higher expectations for that. I know a lot of you did too. And next year, we'll do a 2021 season preview. Maybe we'll wait for the dust to settle with the coaching staff, players, hiring agents, and going to the NFL. The portal's going to heat up. You see what's happening at Tennessee right now. And you see people like Eric Gilbert's out there. He left. And this is one on my notes right here. You know, he left LSU, one of the highest rated recruits, has ties to Georgia. He's from Marietta. LSU wants to keep him. Obviously, Tim Brewster, Brewster's on the he is on the case right now. Tight end coach. What better sell do you have than come and be our next Kyle Pitts? You've got the size, you've got the speed. It's yet to be seen in full. I mean, he obviously didn't get properly used over at LSU with kind of the depleted roster they had. Cheers again. But come to Florida. I think I drank that book. Come to Florida. Be Kyle Pitts, you know, break records, win the Mackey Award, and we need that. So next season is going to be different. We're going to have to see what happens when all this settles down and we get a little bit closer to your spring practices and that sort of thing. So who knows what next year is going to look like. I'm excited to see Emory Jones. He looked good when he was put in and put in the right situations and everything. So let me just make sure I'm still recording over here, 28 minutes. All right, so we're going to keep going. 30 minutes max. I got to start a new one here. Oh, my gosh. Listen, my thing over here trying to this is interesting. Let's go ahead and get rid of that so you don't have to hear my voice in the background. All right, so we're coming down on about 30 minutes here real quick. We'll take a quick break in about a minute and a half. What we have coming up, I'll take a quick break, refill my drink. We're going to talk about let's see what we got here. A little bit more recruiting. We had a decommitment. We had someone not choose Florida, even though he was expected to. But, you know, that is what it is. Then we're going to get right back into the Bucks, and that's what I'm super excited about. I wish Justin was here right now, but we're going to get him. I won't get all the way into it because there's still a couple days before this game. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Not going to give you predictions right now, but maybe we'll have Justin on tomorrow. Maybe he can help us out with some predictions here. Cheers, everybody. Quick break. I'll be right back with you. Part two of the Bruin Orange podcast. Here we go. All right, so where do we leave off? We talked a little bit about my disappointment for this season, which shouldn't be a surprise to anyone who's listened to my other podcasts. I'm a Gator freak, Gator fanatic. 8-4 is not good enough. That's not the Gator standard. Gator standard is like your baseball team, who is constantly ranked up in the top, competing, obviously different ball game there, but consistency, victories, titles, that's what you want. That's not what Florida showed today. Look, so let's get a little bit more recruiting before we jump into the Bucks. I don't want to skip anything because recruiting is what I love. So Sam McCall, who was a five-star athlete who committed to Florida a couple months ago, decommitted when Torian Gray left. Now, as he can get back in this class, it's not looking – I mean, he's not going to – we're going to recruit him. McGriff's going to recruit him. There's obviously a reason why he committed to Florida in the first place. But this is another weird thing about recruiting, and it's something that has always fascinated me when high school players like this decide to commit to a coach, not a school. I'm no five-star athlete. I don't have 30 offers to D1 schools. Let's pour up a little sip of this. This is the cool thing about this. So if you're watching on Instagram Live, or if you're going to see this on YouTube TV, excuse me, I love this little jar. This fancy little spout. There it is. Just a little tiny tipper right there. Cheers, everybody. I do love some old Forrester. So that's the problem. Right now, McCall is a Florida prospect from the state, top 100 prospect nationally, one of the top-rated athletes in the state of Florida. It's a guy that needs to be in your class if you're the University of Florida, because you are the top dog in the state right now. Well, you were. Miami is probably going to debate you on that if you talk about that right now, because obviously Florida with Trask and Pitts and Tony and the whole shebang is practically one of the best. So let's be honest. Florida, Alabama, that was essentially a national championship. Let's be real. Alabama, Ohio State was not close. If you give me any game to rewatch from last season, Gator or anything, give me that Florida, Alabama game, and a lot of people will tell you that as well. That was an exciting, exciting game. It was a shootout, but when you have no defense, I just have to go back. For all those who were listening earlier, did you hear what I said? We were scored 40 points a game, and we went 8-4. You know, Oklahoma and the Cows, an awful game. I mean, you had record-breaking offensive production. It was wasted with a crap defense. Anyways, back to recruiting. Jermaine Singletary, I forget his first name, five-star, out of Jacksonville. He chose Ohio State. That's just what we talked about. It was probably the first podcast I ever did. And I told you, Florida has not recruited the state of Florida the way that they should, being the alphas in the state. And if you don't recruit the state that at a high level, if you let these Alabamas, Clemsons, Ohio States, even Georgia, you let these teams come in and take your top talent, especially at a position that you call yourself DBU, you just can't let that happen, because they're going to beat you every time. Ohio State's class right now is wild. I'll have a full recruiting one just looking at this 2021 wrap-up, because we're coming close to the signing period, the final signing period. Florida doesn't have much more room to add. They're probably going to add another portal guy. They'll probably add Arnold if they're lucky. But you never know. And right now, I'm sorry. Yell at me. Call me Debbie Downer. Tweet at me, whatever. Florida's not going to get it done on the field against the Georgias and on a regular basis. Yeah, okay, we beat them, but they stomped us the last 2 years. Or at least, you know, aside from a good game plan from Mullen, we just didn't have the horses last year or the year before. That's another thing. What season are you somewhat disappointed when you have a victory over Georgia? That's the problem for me. I love to hear more from you, so tweet at me, Instagram me. Let me know what you think once this is posted. It was disappointing for me. So let's get into a little bit of the coaching, a little bit more of that. So Christian Robinson, a linebacker coach, he's a good recruiter. You know, he's out there with he got our hoppers, Wingos. He gets his guy, his one or two guys he missed on Sorry. Obviously, that was someone that we were watching, and it never popped for Florida. He was a Georgia guy the whole time. I think he may have just been leading us on. Who knows? And that's what we have to watch out for Arnold, because Georgia's going after him. Bama's faded a little bit to the back of the pack. Once Gray left, everyone was wondering, is that going to hurt Terrion Arnold recruitment? You'll never know. But he got predicted to win at Florida, which is surprising to me. 247, good article. They told you the top uncommitted players. I'm sorry, I don't know the author, but it was on 247. The top 10 uncommitted. One of them was Terrion Arnold, predicted to go out to Florida. But again, you've got these guys, top talent at skill positions, the positions that it takes having the guys to win. They're game changers. You know, this, could you imagine having a guy like, and now it's early. This 2021 class, this is, it's, or the 2022 class, it's early right now, obviously. So let's give it some time, see what Mullen can do, see if he can put some more recruiters on the staff. You know, everyone was really pumped when Brewster came on. Brewster's going to get his guy each year, but we still need to land, we need to land these five-star guys, not through the transfer portal. It's not sustainable. You can't do that. You bring in guys and they start over people for a year. You just run the risk of really pushing guys out the door. You've got to build continuity. You've got to build rapport with these players. And it starts by bringing in a top-rated class, not being ranked seventh with 26 freaking commits. And if you look right behind you, breathing down your neck, you've got these schools with four or five, six less players. Obviously, their average rating will go down, but they're recruiting. I mean, they've got the five stars. Don't tell me stars don't matter, because there's not five-star guys playing in the NFL. We're talking college recruiting. Stars matter. Ask Alabama, ask Clemson, ask Ohio State. It matters. You know, Notre Dame just underachieves constantly, but they're always towards the top. It's the same usual suspects. And, it's a little frustrating if you're a Florida fan, because you just think about back in the day, the Brandon Spikes, the Tebows, the Percy Harvins, the Major Wrights, the list goes on and on. They were recruiting the state of Florida, Lakeland High School. You have to land these kids at a high school, and you've got to get them on the field, develop them. Dan Mullen just trusts his development more than he cares to go out there and just beat the doors down and land the guys. I'll tell you what, my biggest gripe, this is, and we'll move on to the Bucks after this, so I don't want to keep you here all night. My biggest gripe was the change in attitude from Mullen. And Justin's going to argue with me about this. I can't wait. But that game mattered. If that game didn't matter, we wouldn't still be talking about it. Right now, I could probably go to Twitter and we'll find someone complaining about losses to LSU and Oklahoma. It matters because optics matter. It matters what the media says about you because there's recruits. It matters that you went out because you what your proper self up. You said you've been to three New Year's Six games. Well, you're 2-1 in them. Congrats. But you came out and you got whooped. And if it didn't matter, why are they talking about Oklahoma in such a positive light now? Spencer Rattler, oh, man, all these guys. Their preseason polls and all the chatter is positive towards Oklahoma. And right now, the optics are negative towards Florida. It matters. If they're keeping score, it matters. Because someone wins, someone loses, and that number goes into one of those two columns. And if I recall correctly, Dan Mullen, you said, if you want to thumb wrestle, I'll beat your ass because I want to win. Someone wins, someone loses every time. And that's the culture he said he was instilling. He always talks about the Gator standard. So I don't care if you're playing your third strings or your walk-ons or you had to pull someone out of the crowd. If they're keeping score, it matters. And that's as simple as that. Rankings matter. Stars matter. The games matter. Development matters too, but you got to have a healthy balance of both, or you're underachieved like Georgia, or you sit here and you just can't compete. Depth. Don't you think if Florida had just quality depth sitting there, the Oklahoma game looks a little different. Maybe they compete. Maybe, I don't know. And there's a lot of people I know right now that aren't completely on the Emory Jones train. I mean, because if you think we're going to have an air attack, like we're throwing one of those little Nerf footballs next year, he throws a pretty ball, don't get me wrong, but you better look back to the Nick Fitzgerald days in Mississippi State, the Dak Prescott days. Look back at those days. I think that's where our offense is heading. Hopefully, I mean, it's obviously way better talent on Florida's team, but that's where we're heading. We're heading down the road of kind of this option of, just the whole play action type stuff. Emory's going to run. Hopefully he doesn't have brittle bones and he can survive all that, because Dan Mullen knows how to use them. That's why we like Dan Mullen. That's why we've talked Emory Jones up, is because he fits the mold. A lot of people are excited about Anthony Richardson. He's a big, fast, physical guy. Man, he's a horse. Can't wait to see him out there. But what is in Florida's future in that, we don't know. But let's get back to I get on tangent. That's why I'm here talking to y'all. This has been pent up when I haven't been on here and since Thanksgiving or something, you know, since after the I went ghost after that Florida loss to LSU. I didn't want to face the music. But it doesn't matter. We'll see what that is. All that matters right now, Tampa, Florida, 813, Tampa Bay Bucks. That's what it's all about right now. And I'll keep it short and sweet. Our Instagram video has got about 4 minutes. We can just let that ride. When that ends, because I didn't want to do it live. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I'll put it on there regardless. All right, so they beat the Saints. You know, Bucks came out, NFC South champs. They're going. This is what it is. Or not yet. Not NFC South champs yet. We want to win this NFC game and play in the Super Bowl here in Tampa. And the fun thing is, the NFC is the home team this year. So the Bucks not only get to possibly, if they win, they got to get over the snow humps. They got to get over. They've got to beat Aaron Rodgers. Arguably, with this is again, we were spoiled last week. We saw Breeze versus Brady, all the storylines of the oldest quarterbacks combined age in a game. Not specialists. I know there's probably a game where they've had some super old kickers, but doesn't matter. Brady Breeze was a great game. You hate to see Breeze go down like that. Any other day, if he wins, he wins. But hey, we're sending him packing into retirement with a loss for the Bucks to get a chance, one game away from the Super Bowl. It's going to snow. Last time I checked, 60% chance of snow in Lambeau Field in Green Bay. I've got some, I don't know, cousin-in-laws, I guess you can call them, Cole and, you know, them up there, Bill, and, you know, they're all Green Bay fans. You know what? Not having it, it's Bucks time, baby. We got Brady. It gets me, my hands clammy and sweaty when I think about it, because it's been since 2002. I'm 33 years old. And I graduated in 2006 from high school, 2002, freshman year of high school. It's a long time coming right now. My buddy Justin's the biggest diehard Bucks fan. There are two types of people watching that game against the Saints. He was pumped up, and he's going to carry that momentum. I just kind of sat there, and it just hadn't set in until maybe a couple of days ago. Now you're turning on. Someone posted something today. It's January, and the Bucks are practicing right now. We haven't been able to say that in a very long time. The acquisitions of Bruce Arians and Tom Brady can't be overstated enough. Get out of here, bud. Can't be overstated enough. Tom Brady, yes, T. Kraz has said it on the morning show. Tom Brady was a franchise-changing acquisition. He truly was. And I know Ronnie, Night Train, he said no. So I'd love to hear him now tell me that Brady was not a franchise changer. It was I feel like I'm in a twilight zone. 2020 was weird enough, but the fact that number 12 is lining up under center, wearing the pewter and the red, man, it's mind blowing right now. And as a Tampa Bay fan, you know, guess what? This is going to be, this will show my age a little bit, and maybe it shows I got a good memory. I remember watching the Bucks on UPN 44. We used to say the Bucks suck here on UPN 44. Justin will remember that because I don't know a bigger Bucks fan. Him and Sean will have to rock, paper, scissors for that. UPN 44, that's what we used to watch. That's where we used to catch the awful games back then, the old sombrero, UPN 44, man. 2002 seemed like it was it was over a decade ago. Unbelievable. So this is big for us right now. I know a lot of Bucks fans are happy about it, and I think that once we get to the game, I'm gonna turn this down again because we're already there. There we go. Instagram Live. You got 30 minutes of this right here. It's fine. Watch it if you want. But this is a big deal for the city of Tampa. The pandemic, COVID. Look at that. Stanley Cup champions, World Series. And now we're going to sit here and hopefully be hosting a Super Bowl. Hopefully, a Mayor Jane Caster, if you're listening, cheers. Let's make that a holiday if everything goes right. If everything goes well on Sunday, let's make that a holiday. Oh, and I cannot wait to see Riverwalk, Julian B. Lane Park. Wear your mask, social distance, do it, don't come if you don't want to. but don't ruin my good time. That's going to be fun. I went to the NFL Experience back in 2002 when it was right behind in between the spring training for the Yankees right there and the stadium, and it was awesome. Kick, punt, pass, you can do all the stuff. Pretend you're Tom Brady out there. Pretend you're Leonard Fournette or Ronald Jones. You can juke, kick. I can't kick anything, but I can throw. It's going to be fun. I hope everyone gets to go out there. I hope everyone enjoys it. We've had some beautiful weather, and I'm just so excited that we – because no matter how Sunday goes, this has been a heck of a ride. We know Gronk wants to come back. He just got done talking about it. We know Brady will be back next year. He's hungry. And I think if Jason Light makes some moves, we've got a lot of guys on one-year deals. I mean, Antonio Brown, Fournette. I mean, just the pieces that were put together is mind-blowing. And this defense is playing its best football of the season right now. 4 takeaways last week against the Saints. They made Breeze – he wasn't himself. Breeze was truly not himself last week. And this is a crazy stat. I looked at this over and over again. Am I seeing this wrong? The Bucs were 8-2, including the playoffs on the road. 8-2. They finished the season 11-5. 8-2 on the road, including these last 2 wins against Washington and New Orleans. We lost that one on Monday Night Football to the Bears. We lost one to the Saints at the first game of the season in New Orleans. So we're 8-2 on the road, and that includes these 2 playoff games. I'm not making my prediction yet, but they are a 3-point underdog to Green Bay. To me, 3 points in the snow, call that what it is. I think Suckup has made 7 here in a row. He's been pretty automatic. Excuse me. I think this game comes down to a field goal. I mean, remember the Tuck Rule game? Raiders and the Patriots coming down to a last-minute field goal, can't see your hand in front of your face. Snowballs, man. Let's see what we got. The Chiefs game, it was snowing a little bit in that one too. But let's see what happens. The Bucs have won 6 straight since they dropped that game. They lost that 6 straight since they dropped 2 in a row to the Rams and to the Chiefs, and they went on this run. Everyone knew if they wanted to get to that magic 11-5, I can't remember what T-Kraz and all of them had as their prediction was, but you won 9 games. You won 11-5. You're 11-5, and you've won 6 games in a row. You're 8-2 on the road. The defense is playing its best ball of the year. Devin White, I mean, the guy he's a franchise changer too. That was a great draft pick. Vita Vea is back now. I can't wait to see how this game goes on Sunday. It's going to be exciting. It's a 3:00 kickoff. You know how it is. 3:04, 3:05. Cheers every time. Every time I take a sip of this nonsense, I'm going to cheers y'all. And remember, it's a happy, happy Thursday evening. We're going into Friday. We're going to golf. We're going to watch some football. Man, look at that shirt. The shirt is awesome. And you see this little thing back here. Thanks, Dad, Valerie. You can't read it. It says, "This is Gator Country." And those little balls here, this one here, and this one here are signed by Nolan Ryan, my favorite player. He's in that box. So just saw that over my shoulder. Pretty cool. This is Gator Country. You know it is. Brewing Orange is what we do around here. We're the original craft beer and Tampa Bay sports podcast, specializing and talking about some recruiting because I love it. I'm like Colin Cowherd. I'm a nerd with it. I just love watching these trends, especially in the state of Florida. That's just what we do here on Brewing Orange. And that's all I'm going to do for tonight. I mean, this has already been dang near an hour. So, look, everybody, have a great Friday. Have a great rest of your Thursday evening. Listen to this wherever you find your favorite podcast. Watch it on Instagram. I'll have a pretty decent portion of this on Instagram. Find it on YouTube Live. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram. Brew and Orange. Type that in. You'll find me. Drink local. Shop local. Go get your shirt. 1771 Designs. Matt and St. Pete. When I went to their website, it looks like they're moving to a new location. But if you're like me and you like shopping online, this is a medium. Fits pretty good, a little tight, but hey, that's how we do. We like schmediums. So, hey, great shirt. I'm going to get me a Bucks one next. And when Rays season starts, I'm going to get me a Rays one because they've got They've got all your Tampa Bay sports covered, and I really want that PD, the Penguin. I think that's his name. I hope I'm not butchering that. But, man, they got some great clothes over there. Pub Pass, again, thanks, Olivia and Jared. Happy birthday to me. Can't wait to go with my wife, bar hop around, hopefully some of my friends. Justin, I'm looking at you. Who, you know, Jeremy, grab this. Let's go bar hop. So cheers again to everybody. Have a great weekend. Safe, fun. Hey, be kind to one another. Wear your masks. Be safe and healthy. Cheers.